Classic Hits 98.9 WJEZ. Good morning and welcome to the Community Forum. I'm Cynthia Graham, joined this morning by Dale Maley. He is an author and historian for the city of Fairbury. Good morning.
Good morning.
He is here to talk today about a new book he's written about the Native Americans of the Fairbury area. So what would you like to tell us about this?
Yeah, so I've been collecting, actually turns out, hundreds of bits of information about Native Americans in our area over the last 5 years or so. And those have come from at least a dozen different sources. So I finally decided to weave all those hundreds of bits of different pieces of information into one book. So I came up with a title for this book, Fairbury, Illinois, from the Prehistoric Times to Modern Times. And the reason I go prehistoric is I really want to know when did the first people, human beings, actually get in Illinois. So the biggest challenge I found out in this book, though, was Native Americans have lived in our area for about 8,000 years, they think. And if you assume one generation for every 30 years, that's 266 generations of people.
Wow, that's a lot.
And you don't think about that every day, but when you're driving through the country or out in a field in this area, there's been 266 generations of people walked here before.
That's awesome.
And so the other thing is, all of our Central Illinois history is so deeply interwoven with the Indian tribes who lived here when the first white explorers and settlers arrived. I mean, you got the Chief Pontiac story, the Star of Rock story, the Cahokia Mounds down southern Illinois. You got Dixon Mounds. So the hardest part was restricting this and try to focus in just in our area, just in Fairbury area. That was the hardest part.
Wow.
Yep. So a little kind of geology lesson. Prior to the Ice Age, our area here in central Illinois, we were actually a shallow tropical ocean 300 to 500 million years ago. And this part of the country was actually located at the equator. So we still find fossils of ocean creatures even today in our area. Now, many of those shells eventually became the limestone that we quarry today. Mm-hmm. Then we became a lush tropical forest, and all those dead trees kept piling up, and finally they became the coal and oil that we find today.
They things sure have changed since this is a tropical area,
hasn't
it?
I know. And then the other thing I really didn't realize, we were once a land of dinosaurs, but we really haven't found any bones in Illinois because a lot of the area was scraped clean by the glaciers. But they think someday down in southern Illinois may find some actual dinosaur bones.
Wow.
Yep. And then we had the land of the woolly mammoths as well. Now, about 14,000 years ago, that was near the end of the Ice Age. And the sea level was 280 feet lower than it is today. So when the sea level dropped, a lot of the land popped up. So they think the first people walked across the land bridge by Alaska and got down to Illinois somewhere 8,000 to 10,000 years ago. So the people that came here went through, we've classified them into several time periods. The Paleo-Indian is the oldest and be the first group of humans to come down in our area. Then they have the Archaic group, the Woodland group, Mississippian group, which most of us would know as the Cahokia Mound Builders down by St. Louis. And then the last one is late prehistoric, which would include the Kickapoo Indians that were in this area. The artifacts we find in our fields today came from these five groups. And all these artifacts are slightly different design depending on the time period. And they could be anywhere from, say, 1,000 years old to 8,000 years old. And the experts, they can figure out which of those groups I just talked about, which group made those artifacts. For example, arrowheads or axes or whatever. Now, the Kickapoo, they had a village about 3 miles south of Fairbury on the creek, and the population of that village was about 630. And they moved south of Fairbury. They moved straight east over to Oliver's Grove, which is 3 miles south of Chatsworth in 1830. Now, Fairbury Indian Creek got its name from having the Kickapoo Village, as well as Indian Grove Township, which is the township just south of Fairbury. The first settler in the Fairbury area was Major Valentine Darnell in 1830. So that's just about the same time the Kickapoo were moving from Fairbury to Chatsworth. And there was really a terrible first winter that those first settlers had to go through. So some of the Kickapoo gave the Darnells some beans for food, and they were some type of brown bean. Now, the family history is they would not have survived without those Kickapoo beans. And around 2010, the Kickapoo tracked down some of those ground beans. And they asked Marty Travis, who's a descendant of Major Darnell, to grow some of those beans. So it took a couple times, but Marty grew them and returned some back to the Kickapoo 180 years after the 1830 episode.
Wow.
Now, the Kickapoo only lived about 2 years in Oliver's Grove, south of Chatsworth. They were forced to leave the state around 1832. Now, they grew corn and had a small corn crib in Section 28 there south of Chatsworth. And I just recently went over to that area, and I was really surprised. That's very unique land starting 3 miles south and continuing south with many hills and ponds and other things. It's really a unique. You wouldn't think you're in Livingston County over there.
Right.
The other thing is the Indians knew how to use local plants as medicines. So in my book, I have a section on the plant names and how we think they were used. So today, how do you get a feel for what it was like living as a Kickapoo, for example? Well, one thing that helps me is those five dioramas down at the Illinois State Museum in Springfield. Another thing is I found a story clear back to 1788 where a gentleman named William Biggs wrote a story about being a captive of the Kickapoo. And my sister-in-law, Judy Wells, was my proofreader on this project. She said that was the best part of the whole book.
Nice.
But you get a good feel how they traveled, how far they traveled, what they ate, that type of thing. And also how the Native Americans used plants as medicine. So if you take those three and blend them together, it kind of gives you a little bit of flavor for what life might have been like as a Kickapoo Indian. Now, the artifact collectors, people have been collecting arrowheads and other relics in this area since the first settlers arrived. Now, usually they're found along a creek or a river, so in our case, Indian Creek or the Vermilion River. But they can be found many miles from a creek or river. My brother, Brad Maley, for example, found some on our family farm, and we're 3 miles from the creek and about the same distance from the river. Now, there were two Indian trails that crossed south of Fairbury, and that was the dividing line between the Kickapoo and the Pottawatomies. The heyday of collecting artifacts seems to have been the 1940s and 50s. And some of the major Fairbury collectors were Benjamin Newsbaum, Edgar Zook, Henry J. Meese, who kind of covered Sonoma and Pontiac and Fairbury, Wade Simmons, Dr. Pendergast, A.H. Munt, who was a jeweler, and Willie Harris. One of the rarest finds in our area was a copper hand adze. It was found in 1968 by Harlan Wessels. It's 3.5 by 6 inches and weighed 1.5 pounds. Now you got to ask, how in the world did they make something out of copper since the closest copper is in Canada? So they think a glacier carried a big chunk of copper down, and after it melted, they found this chunk of copper, and somehow they figured out how to smelt it and then forge it into the shape of that hand adze.
The old days of travel.
Yes,
ride a glacier.
Yeah. Wow. Come ride a glacier down. Now, there was one Indian mound reported south of Fairbury prior to 1900, but the farmer that found that closed that back up. And there's another mound found north of Fairbury, and it was found in 1896 when digging a cellar. I believe the same mound was reopened back in 1941, and at that time they found one human skeleton and various artifacts. So there are probably numerous small mounds in the Fairbury and Pontiac areas on that side. Now, the Kickapoo, they still exist today. They ended up going to Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas, and Mexico. And you can look on the website for the Oklahoma tribe, for example, and they have a lot of good historic information about their tribe. They have links to the other states as well. So the one amazing statistic that I found when I was researching for this book was that people have been here for 8,000 years. And if you figure 30 years per generation, that's 266 generations of people. And we Europeans have only been here less than 10 generations. So we'll probably keep finding arrowheads and artifacts for a long, long time if there's 266 generations here.
Yeah.
A new book is 6x9 formats, about 180 pages. I've donated copies to the Fairbury Domini Library, Echoes Museum, and today I'm going to donate some copies to the Pontiac Library. You can also buy a Kindle ebook version on this for about $5, or you can buy a conventional printed book for about $25. And the reason the printed costs so much more is I have a lot of colored pictures in here as well. So hopefully this makes it easy for people to check out and learn about our early history.
Very cool. You always have such interesting things that you write about that I'm sure takes forever to research. I mean, how long did it take you to put this book together?
Well, you got to understand, I collected little bits of information almost daily. And then it probably took me several weeks to put all that information together in a coherent fashion. Yeah.
Very good. So you listed all the places and ways people can get this book, but looking into the not-so-distant future, but it won't take forever. You have another one you're working on right now that you're doing bit by bit. Can we get a little bit of a preview on it? And maybe if people have information, they can send it your way?
Sure. So I'm doing Fairbury in the World Wars. That would be World War I and World War II. Now, today there's a World War I book for Livingston County. It's about 3 inches thick. It's a big, big book. Mm-hmm. And you have to wade through all the, I don't know what there is, over thousands of people to pick out a particular town that you're interested in. And then for Fairbury, there's a World War II book as well. So I'm combining those two in modern format. And then there were some people left out. So I'm kind of using Facebook to let people tell me about people that got left out accidentally. So I'm going to include them in the new revised version.
Very good. Anything else you'd like to talk about while you're here today?
No. That's plenty for today.
Very good. We've been speaking with Dale Maley. He's an author and a historian for the City of Fairbury. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Community Forum. I'm Cynthia Groff for Classic Hits 98.9 WJEZ.